All right, so agenda is in IRC. Today on the agenda, we have linked data and JSON-LD introductory videos, just a quick overview of those, and then issue 26, which is vocab support, issue 129, which is eliminating duplicates when expanding, and issue 108, which are IRI templates. Is there anything else that we should add to the agenda, anything else that we should discuss?
Do we want to talk about some of the feedback that's coming in and how we what we want to do about it?
Yeah, so let's put that at the beginning of the agenda. So feedback from the RDF working group.
Yes.
Okay, so right now, if I haven't checked my email this morning, but I think we have two reviews in, one of them a full review by Andy Seaborn, the other one kind of a partial review by Eric Frugromo. So do we, let's see, I've read through Andy Seaborn's feedback. I mean, the good thing is that both the feedbacks are basically like, you know, we can go to FPWD, no problem, but there are some last call blockers in there. Greg, were you thinking that we should take them line by line, or do you want to just, as a high level, talk about how we might address them?
Yeah, I guess probably more at a high level. I haven't gone through them in detail myself. And I think mostly it was a matter of sprinkling issue markers that relates to their points. And I think the impression I get is group would just like to have it moved over into W3C space soon.
Okay.
There's another thing that came in that was related to a different thread, I guess, regarding graph and wanting to mark graph as being at risk, and some discussion I had had on the possibility of eliminating graph if we go with ID maps, but I don't think ID maps are on the list for today.
No, they're not. And I have certain reservations about doing that. I don't that said, I don't necessarily understand how ID maps replace graphs. So I'm concerned about making changes that big before we do FPWD, and I think you're saying we make it after the FPWD.
Yeah, I think that the point was to put things down as at risk, but if we were to replace, I mean, graph has not been entirely embraced by the group.
Which group?
By the RDF working group.
Right.
Certainly, the notion of named graphs is an issue which is not complete by the group. And that's one reason, I think, that we're seeing something. The other use of graph was as a way to include it in an object, include several objects, and it wasn't intended to start creating named graphs. So the ID map was the idea of being able to have keys that basically turn into IDs of the objects that they reference. As I recall,
right, but that's a different, that's different from graph, isn't it? It's just another way of specifying information. Like, it would be most useful for, like language map type stuff, right?
Yeah, so the reason that we had to put graph in there is so that we could, if you have just a bunch of objects that are all at the same level, they're in an array form, but if you want a context that includes them all, you need some way to put them in a graph. So at graph was added so that you had a key to with which to associate the array. But if you instead had IDs, and if you instead had keys for each member, you wouldn't need graph. So,
right,
for instance, if
graph in that case.
So if you had graph that had two objects, one with ID A and the other with ID B, you might instead have just A and B as keys, in the top level object that reference each of the objects. So that in that way you wouldn't need graph.
Well, what I'm still confused as to how you name the graph. Like those top level keys are the keys for the actual objects that are being described.
Let me type something out here.
Okay.
So that's what you might have right now, right? So if we had an ID map, which would be something like A is an ID, A context ID, right? So that's what an ID map might look like. Then you can instead have context
So the A colon thing
was intended to be part of a context. Container. I'm sorry. Yeah, the container ID would be context ID. Let me replace that.
Okay, so the A would be the name of the graph, and then,
there is no graph. The A is basically the map says to take A as a subject ID, and then it references the subject definition, which I also show with an ID A, although that presumably could be eliminated, and then B maps to that. So that I think that's where the idea of the ID maps came in, is that it would allow us to put subject IRIs as keys. And if you have subject IRIs as keys, then that removes the need to have a graph at that point.
Because
this is not for the named graph case, right? So the first, when I typed that out, we used context with graph and two objects. That's not a named graph case.
Okay, so you're saying that this is right. So there are two orthogonal problems, right? One of them is how do we name a graph, and the other one is how do we use subject identifiers as keys. And this solution addresses the how do we use subject identifiers as keys problem, not the named graph problem. Is that
well?
Correct?
Yes, but. So graph was in there. The original use of graph was not to create named graphs, right? It was just to have a way to express multiple objects in an object, right?
Well, no. At least that wasn't my intent with graph.
Before it was graph, it was just add ID.
Right.
Was a somewhat clunky syntax, which we changed to graph. And if you just consider that original case, then you could have eliminated add ID or add graph for that purpose of just identifying multiple objects using ID maps.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Assuming we needed to remove the concept of named graphs from JSON-LD, right?
I don't know if we even need to discuss the solution for what happens when we remove name graphs from JSON-LD, because that's like formal objection territory. I think that the RDF working group really needs to figure this out, and this is one opportunity for them to do that. I realize that we're discussing this a bit too early in the process. I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about ID maps for addressing the how do we make subject identifiers as keys in the JSON-LD, but I do have concerns where we start talking about how do we remove name graph support from JSON-LD. It's so fundamental to a lot of the data that people use that. If we remove it from JSON-LD, people are going to just need to create their own name graph solution in-house. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fine. I wasn't trying to debate the how useful name graphs are, but there's a threat in there that wanted to at least mark it as being at risk. So if it is at risk, it's worth considering what the alternative might be for the case we use it, whether it's not for named graphs.
And I think the at risk has traditionally been used on items where we feel that there's a strong possibility that it could be removed. But I don't think that that's the case with this. At least I would be, you know, I'm trying to think of the best way to say. I don't want to give the impression that it's kind of we're on the fence about that graph, because I don't think that we're on the fence about that graph. I think the RDF working group is having a hard time figuring out the semantics behind it, but that doesn't mean that they are on the fence about, you know, named graph support. Because if you read some of that thread, Avant even said that he used language that was a bit too strong. He didn't mean, you know, take out named graph support. And Pat Hayes said that, you know, it's perfectly fine for a syntax to have named graph support, you know, in the semantics and for the language to define the semantics. So I don't know if we should mark it at risk. I feel pretty strongly that we should not mark it at risk. Maybe we should say put an issue marker on it, saying that, you know, it's under heavy discussion. But marking it at risk, I think, sends the wrong message.
Then let's just handle it that way.
Okay. Nicholas, sorry, you're on the queue.
I'm not sure if it's relevant if we agree on that. I'm a bit on the fence. Well, we did discuss previously that we wanted to have named graphs off the table because of the various problems that a concept introduces. I mean, it's much more complex than just a document format for triples, that we know. That said, if we're leaving this discussion, I won't argue for or against much more, although I'd like to mention that I think we discussed using at set instead of graph as a keyword if we were to just not have the graph concept at the top level. That's mostly a remark just from what we discussed earlier some months ago.
So the concern I have is that if we reopen this whole discussion about how do we do graphs or how do we represent this stuff in JSON-LD, I mean, what we have right now, we have a solution right now, and it seems to be fairly simple and it seems to work, and I'm afraid that opening the discussion back up just opens us back up to multiple weeks of revisiting, you know, old discussions we've had on this. And the reason we're doing that is because I feel the RDF working group it feels uneasy about tackling the problem. So it's I'd rather put it out there and then have them come up with a very strong case for why we need to not support named graphs in JSON-LD. And then we can say that it's at risk at that point. But until then, I feel like we should push back pretty strongly against any notion that we should get rid of named graphs in JSON-LD.
All right.
Any other opinions, strong opinions on this?
My feeling is just that named graphs haven't been needed in either Turtle nor RDF XML as a way of expressing data in document form. So
I disagree pretty strongly with that, mainly because when you don't have a feature, when you don't have a feature in a language, there's no proof that feature is actually needed in the data that people publish, because they modify the data to, you know, to take the missing feature into account in some way. So for example, in our case, there's no named graph support in RDFA, so we end up going through all of these hoops to do digital signatures and make statements about graphs, and all of our application code is therefore much more complicated because we don't necessarily have this feature in there. We have an entirely different, you know, data store for metadata about graphs, and we have a different way of generating you know, IDs for the graphs and associating it with the metadata and all that kind of stuff. So I think without you know, pretty simple named graph support, the applications end up becoming more complicated, and they're trying to remove that complexity by providing a fairly simple solution. So I think, Nicholas, I disagree with the notion that you know, we haven't needed named graphs in RDF XML or Turtle, because that's what Trig's about. That's what this entire discussion about named graphs has been about for the last, you know, eight or 10 years now.
I see your point. I think, though, that your point also raises that you have a very distinct, very clear use case for quoting data, which you then make digital signatures upon, which is a very good, solid use case, whereas the whole discussion about named graphs in general is much more esoteric and mired in problems of, well, quoted graphs in graphs and the general theoretical point of view. Generally you use Trig and those formats to export data sets, i.e. aggregates of multiple documents, to export a quad store, for instance, whereas this use case about quoting and signatures is much more about the packaging and transmission of the data.
Right. Well, I guess that's kind of my point, is to drive this esoteric graph discussion with an actual set of use cases to say, look, these are the problems we need to solve. We have a solution. This is what we think it is. Now try and make that fit in RDF concepts, or have RDF concepts, or, you know, write RDF concepts in a way that makes it so that we can do this, you know, easily and simply, and it makes sense to the developers. And so the RDF working group has been coming at it from the approach of, let's talk about the abstract model and then come up with a syntax for it. We're coming at it from the other direction, saying, look, this is what we need to do. This is the syntax we've created for it. Now make it fit into RDF concepts. Because if you can't do that, then, you know, using the RDF concepts are useless.
Yeah, and I like that. I mean, this is a very good... I think that it's important to highlight this, because if we take your specific case of signatures and the way named graphs is used in Sparkle, both of these perspectives are possible to align, and the RDF working group should work with these two cases as driving the design decisions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So... let's continue, okay. I think.
Okay, all right. Sounds good. Okay, so we've kind of gone down a rabbit hole discussing the graph issue. It's an important, certainly an important issue to discuss, but popping up a level on how we're going to address the feedback from the RDF working group, what we could do is we could just have, you know, we have a call tomorrow in the RDF working group, and I'm guessing we should probably ask the question of whether or not they feel that we need to make any changes to the documents before we go to FPWD, and if so, exactly what those changes are. And if they let us know, Andy and Eric should be on the call tomorrow, we should be able to just make those changes, take that document and do all the IPR on it in this community group, hand it over to the RDF working group, get it published as an FPWD, and then make the remaining changes that Andy and Eric have discussed. The alternative is to try and attempt to make all the changes that they've given their review comments on, and that could kind of slow us down a bit longer. It would definitely slow us down for longer than we probably want to be slowed down for. So. Maybe the best way to approach this is to just ask Eric and Andy what they absolutely want in the FPWD, and then make those changes, do the IPR, publish the FPWD, and then continue to address all of their issues after we do the FCWC. Does that sound like a reasonable way forward?
So I think, yeah. So they both stated that they didn't see any blockers for FPWD. But so this was more feedback, but was did not need to be done prior to FPWD. That's my interpretation of their statements. Yeah, so Andy says, yes, it's in the state to move to the CG. Yes, it's ready to publish as an FPWD. And then Eric basically echoes that.
Okay, yeah. Just getting confirmation on that would be good, I think, because sometimes
Seems pretty unambiguous.
I know, but I've heard people say that before, and they end up, you know, having issues with the FPWD. Anyway, if it's unambiguous, then the answer from them should be fairly simple. No changes, publish as is, then we can kind of go forward.
Okay, I'd suggest we make some of the purely editorial edits that are in here. Not necessarily that one, but and then just sprinkle in some issue markers and be done with that. And if you want, then I think that if we do that prior to FPWD, then that satisfies that addresses their comments within the document.
Do you want to make a pass at it and see if you can make some of those editorial changes?
Yeah, I'll
okay.
Take a step.
I'm asking because I don't know if I'm going to have the time this week to do that. Or Marcus, I don't know if you have any time to look at it either. I'm not hearing any audio from you, Marcus. Okay, all right. So, Greg, you're going to try and make some of these editorial changes.
I'm not going to spend too much time.
That's fine.
I don't have a lot of time either, but I think that I can do a quick pass in an hour or so to do that.
Okay. Would you mind waiting until after the call tomorrow so that you may not have to make two different passes or to make sure that they don't object to making editorial changes before we do the FPWD?
Okay, what I really want to do is put in issue markers. Right.
That's fine. I'm just saying wait until the call, so you might not need to do, you know, two different passes, because the issue markers you put in, they might have other issue markers that they want to have put in.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. Great. Okay. Anything else on this topic before we move on to Linked Data and JSON-LD introductory videos? All right. So I spent some time this weekend and put together two videos that are around 11 to 13 minutes long on Linked Data and JSON-LD. So the first one is what is linked data, or a brief introduction to linked data. And then the second one is what is JSON-LD, or a basic introduction to JSON-LD. So I really would appreciate feedback from you guys on any mistakes that are in the video or things that should be done differently, or if the video is too long or too short or it looks cheap, or anything else that would help kind of improve the videos, because I think at least the workflow is it doesn't require a great deal of time to put these types of videos together, and if we're happy with this, then we'll probably want to follow up with JSON-LD basic concepts and JSON-LD advanced concepts, and maybe even something on the JSON-LD API to kind of fully explain JSON-LD. So any thoughts on the videos?
I think they look great.
Okay, could.
I haven't done a detailed look through for them to have any technical feedback. I'll put that on my queue.
I
like the tone and the approach you take to do that. So it looks to me to be very approachable, and I think it'll be quite a useful resource.
Okay, good. So one of the really neat things that YouTube does is it'll do an auto-transcript thing. So it'll convert everything that you say to text, which was kind of blew me away, and it's fairly accurate. I mean, it needs to be cleaned up in some places. Maybe translating it to other languages would be an interesting thing if anyone knows. For example, like Francois, I don't know if you'd have time to translate it. And if we know anybody else that could, you know, translate it into Japanese or Mandarin or, you know, languages that tend to not have a lot of, content as far as, you know, we publish something in English and then it never gets translated to Mandarin or Japanese. So we could put the transcript up on GitHub or the web and then have other people kind of translate it, and then I could just upload it to YouTube and it adds the closed caption stuff to the video kind of automatically. So anyway, that's something that kind of struck me last night as being would kind of be neat to do, to give linked data introductions in a whole bunch of different languages. Francois, you're on the queue.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah, we can hear
you. Yeah, okay, good. So yeah, that was precisely what I was going to suggest. The videos look pretty, I mean, they're just great. They just explain things pretty easily, and you just get it when you watch them, so that's pretty good. So I don't have time, but you don't have time either. So I'm happy to try and translate the videos in French, if that can help. I'm not sure when I can do it, but I'll do my best. Second thing is that probably it would be valuable if you could extract scan each image. I don't know if you've already done that, and if you could put them somewhere, because that could be useful too. My point is, perhaps one thing that could be useful is to extract the slides, meaning that you can just scan the images you have instead of having them only as video. That could be useful to construct, a more written tutorial out of it, good as well. And all of them are just simple and good. So congrats on the video.
Yeah, well, thank you. I've got all the slides on index cards. I'd need to scan them. I don't have a scanner. So track one down. I don't know anyone that has a scanner either. So, but we need to get one for the office. So maybe we'll get a scanner and scan them.
You can just use use the digital camera for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we've been doing. It's much nicer to be able to scan them. I'm trying to think of an easy way to scan them all. There. Great. Dave Lane has a scanner at home. I totally forgot. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I just wanted to second the previous remarks on the quality and the, well, general nicety of the... I've only seen one of them, though. I had no time today, but the linked data video was real nice.
The JSON LD one, don't say anything about it until 2 p.m., and then hopefully we can all retweet and do all that together to try and get as much Twitter social distribution pressure behind it as possible. Twitter is the best time to do it. Put something out on the social network is around 1 to 2 p.m. on Mondays and Tuesdays. So we're going to try for that window and hope to get more views that way.
And that's Eastern Daylight Time.
Yes. Yep.
You've got one up tweet already, I see, on it from.
I'm sure.
The video inside.
Yeah. Oh well, that's what happens when you post it to a mailing list. Okay. So I mean that's fine. I mean it's not like we. It's not like we have a. It's not like we're Apple. We're not trying to coordinate. world publicity push. Okay, anything else on the videos before we move on to issue 26?
Just good job.
Yep.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Okay, issue 26, vocab support. So the question of whether or not we should put vocab back into JSON-LV came back up. This is, I think, specifically vocab and not base. So I don't think anyone's asking for us to put base back in, but people are saying, well, we should heavily consider putting vocab back in. Dave Longley at one point said that we could address this issue via compaction options. So that is a potential way we could deal with the vocab issue, but I think everyone else seems to be fairly strongly in the bring vocab back camp. Any thoughts on this?
I was just recommending that as a fallback if other people weren't really into bringing vocab back. I think I'm fine with bringing vocab back. I think it would be helpful.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, and Greg, you've been kind of a plus one for vocab for a while. Nicholas, I think maybe you were as well.
Yes.
Josh Mandel is. Okay. So
Marcus raised some concerns, so I don't know if he's entirely on board. But for me, the use case is so obvious, particularly when I was doing schema.org-based JSON-LD, which was one of the things that helps to separate schema from microdata. It was still amazing how many people at SumTech, you know, even that audience thought that they were the same thing. But in that case, using vocab is so useful because it just eliminates having to cast all of these terms otherwise.
Right. So there are a couple of other questions that come up if we reintroduce vocab. One of them is, can you use vocab by itself in a document so you don't specify context, but you can still use at vocab and it applies? It's kind of shorthand for having at context and then inside it at vocab. And the other question is whether or not vocabs from external JSON-LD context apply to the current document. That is, do you have to be explicit in the document to use vocab, or do you allow vocab to be imported when you do import external context? I guess, but that's follow-on. So let's do the vocab resolution first. So the proposal is support the vocab keyword for setting a default vocabulary URL for a JSON-LD document. Okay, and Marcus, could you, I'm going to go ahead and resolve this, but could you outline some of your concerns really quickly? And then Dave Lane, you still need to plus one minus one plus zero. All right, Marcus, you're muted, maybe. Oh, and in fact, yeah, we couldn't hear you before. I had asked a question, and I couldn't hear you before, so maybe your audio is just not working today. If you could type something out in IRC, maybe that would be good. Or let's see. Yeah. Okay, so basically, Marcus is saying that he's spoken with a couple of web developers, and they were confused by having two distinct base URIs. So maybe vocabin itself is apparently confusing. They thought that vocab might import a vocabulary, so kind of what context does right now when you use an external document. And they didn't quite understand why just vocab just sets the base IRI for properties or why it's useful. So, Greg, you know, maybe if people aren't working with schema.org, they don't understand why vocab's useful at all. So the motivation for the change is that prefixes can't be used without escaping them because there's no colon in them. So maybe we should address the root of the issue. I don't know if that's really the root of the issue. I think the root of the issue is having a really simple way of setting a vocabulary. So if you are in the schema.org world, which I think maybe a lot of developers are going to be, they would want to just do add vocab at the top of their document and just use schema.org for all of their data. That would really work for, you know, things like people, places, events, recipes, all the major data that Google indexes today. Dave Longley, you're on the queue.
I don't think if people don't understand the utility of a feature that that's necessarily that big of a deal. I think the bigger issue is if there is confusion over how the feature works. So I think we should focus on that if we're going to focus on any issue in particular.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. So we've added vocab back in. Let's go ahead and push the discussion of whether or not you can have vocab by itself in a document, or whether or not we allow the importing of vocab via context from external JSON-LD context. Let's push those two discussions off to a later date, because the next issue up is kind of important. We should get to it. Anything else on this issue before we... Oh, sorry, Nicholas. You're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention regarding the importing, I had some comment about transitivity of vocab. Just... it's somewhere in the comments there. Let me just paste the reference.
Just a quick question. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great.
But I'm fine pushing that discussion back on the mailing list. I just wanted to reference the notion of transitivity for vocab. And the same discussion that applied to that also should apply to language. I think that the effect of that should be considered as well, because if there is danger of applying vocab in an imported document, there is the same real danger of having unexpected behavior of language. So the notion of intransitive parts of context could be useful for safety reasons. I'm not sure if I really feel that I need it. We could have advice on how to author shared context that just say don't use them. On the other hand, perhaps using vocab in a shared context, if it isn't transitive, is a very effective means of making them compact. So that's my part.
Yeah, I definitely think that the intransitivity issue is something we should discuss. Okay. Anyway, discussions for a later date. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Next up is issue 129, eliminating duplicates and expansion. And I wanted to get to this today because we have Dave Longley on the call, and he had a number of thoughts on it. So the idea here is whether or not we should automatically remove duplicates, like let's say we have a set of information and JSON LD says 1, 2, 3, 3, 3, and then 4 and 5. Do we, during expansion, effectively remove the duplicates so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the set in the expanded data? So that's the base of the question. Dave Longley had mentioned that there are, if we don't do a duplicate elimination, there are follow-on issues when it comes to translating to and from RDF, and especially when we go to normalized data. Dave, would you mind kind of giving your thoughts on this, I guess, after Greg goes on the queue? Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I'm just in terms of 2RDF, if you look at other serializations, Turtle, for instance, you can certainly specify multiple identical values within the syntax. It's not a problem for RDF, since the restriction on having only a single subject, predicate, object tuple is enforced by the data model, not by the syntax. So there is nothing wrong in JSON LD with having multiple values when you generate RDF, just like the same that would happen in Turtle. The graph model would eliminate them once it was imported into there.
All right. Yep. Dave, would you mind kind of giving your thoughts on this issue?
Yeah, sure. So my main issue with what we do or don't do with duplicates largely has to do with whether or not we start generating a large amount of work or a significant amount of work that people have to use and implement on their own in order to actually use JSON LD. But I think I've come around to decide that it's probably the case that most people that are using JSON LD directly rather than converting to or from RDF are going to be using some form of flattening or framing, which is going to automatically remove duplicates for them. It's already part of the algorithm to do that. We merge common properties in and handle things like that. And we also handle them in a way that expansion just never would really handle anyway, because we can't change the structure during expansion. At least we don't want to. So if we were to try and remove duplicates during expansion, we might only remove a couple of duplicates in a couple of locations, and we don't do it all the way across the entire document anyway. So I actually think I agree with Marcus that we should remove the added complexity of trying to deal with duplicates during expansion, because it's handled in these other places that that we need to finish up and make official parts of the API. But those are the parts that people are going to use if they're going to be using JSON directly. Also, in terms of how it affects 2RDF, like Greg mentioned, the data model will enforce handling duplicates. It shouldn't be an issue there. The only question is what we end up doing with normalization, whether or not two graphs should be considered the same graph if they have duplicates in them. We're probably leaning towards saying that they should, and in which case the normalization algorithm will just have to deal with the duplicates and remove them before whatever else it does in the algorithm. So I think at the end of it, we should probably just leave duplicates alone during expansion, because we can't really deal with them comprehensively without changing the structure of the data. It's not really an issue for 2RDF, and we'll just have to deal with it in normalization. So that's sort of all my thoughts right there on what we should do.
Okay. All right. So, how much of a change to the so where exactly are the changes, Dave Longley?
Well, do we keep
the algorithms as is, or do we remove one part of the algorithm in expansion?
Well, the only adverse effect, I think, is like in my particular implementation, I have a couple of methods, helper methods, that are used to add things to an existing JSON LD object. And they're going to have to be different in the expansion algorithm than they are just being used in a regular application. because when you're using an irregular application, you probably want duplicates to be removed. So when you try to add new objects to properties and subjects, it'll just handle the duplicates for you. But in the expansion algorithm, I was using the same helper methods, and I won't be able to do that. But in terms of the actual, you know, pseudocode for the algorithm, we just remove some of the language that says we merge things in, and instead we just add them. We effectively process sets the same way that we process lists, in that we don't make any attempt to merge objects into existing properties. We just add them. So it should effectively simplify the algorithm. But I don't think the English language actually changes all that much.
I guess what I heard was.
Manu, are you there?
Yeah, Manu, your audio dropped out.
I can still hear you.
That's weird.
Well, anyway, hopefully what he was going to say was that he heard that it shouldn't be that much, shouldn't be that big of a change in terms of...
That's what everyone else is getting.
We can hear you again. Go ahead, Manu.
Okay, UIP is having problems today.
Well, does everyone agree that we don't think that it would be too much of a change to the actual algorithms?
Yeah, so I think this was previously the way the algorithms worked, and in fact, my tests currently fail because they don't do the deduplication. So
yeah,
from my perspective,
right.
This is less work.
I think you're right. I think originally that's how it worked, and we added it to try and clean it up. But it's too hackish. I think it's not a complete solution. So we should remove it.
Yeah, I agree with all of your reasonings. So.
Let me put a proposal in here. Does that seem like a reasonable statement?
Yes, I think so.
All right, I'll put that in the issue. All right, I'm sorry. So Mana's asked me to take over the meeting. I see. All right, so I guess that, is there any more discussion on this issue? We'll move on to the next one, which is... IRI templates. Marcus, you raised this issue. Do you want to talk about this? Let me paste it in there.
I mean, that was something that came up two or three times during the dub in April. And yeah, I mean, my answer was more or less to everyone who talked about that the JSON-LD macros from who is it again? Antonio, are addressing that, and I don't really think it would make sense to add that to JSON-LD itself, because, well, if you don't, it's basically just to support legacy JSON, and I don't think we should spend too much thoughts on that in JSON-LD itself. So I would be fine with just closing that issue as well.
Yeah, I think that at some point this is the notion of providing at least best practices for transforming legacy JSON into compliant JSON-LD is probably should be the topic of some form of a note since it seems like it's going to be a fairly common thing to do. But I agree, adding any normative language for doing that is probably outside of the scope of what we want to try to accomplish.
Yeah, probably, I don't know, maybe a blog post or something as soon as we are done with this pack would solve that issue.
Yeah. So let me just put a proposal in here. All right, plus ones. Anyone else on the call? Great. Okay, great.
Just me.
Let's go ahead and resolve this. Okay, I think that's it for the issues today, and given all of the audio problems we're having, at the top of the hour, I suggest we end the call. Does anyone else have anything else to bring up before we do that?
No, that's fine. I wanted to ask regarding a type, the decision you made last time, but we can also do that on the mailing list or somewhere else.
Yeah, did you have a chance to go through the audio transcript that discussed that?
No, not yet. That's because probably the answer is already in there.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear from there what it is we were trying to accomplish. But if you can raise that before the next meeting, we can put it as an agenda item.
Yeah, we'll first listen to the recordings and then raise it if it's still necessary.
All right, that'd be great. Okay.
Okay.
All right, bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.